Hey there, just a heads up, this podcast is for grown-ups only. We're talking about adult stuff, think spicy language, mature themes, and topics your grandma might raise an eyebrow at. So if you're under 18, come back when you're older. For everyone else, enjoy the ride.
Welcome to Hacking Love, deepening commitment through open relationships. I'm Aiden.
And I'm Anna. We created this podcast to explore the transformative power of ethical non-monogamy and how it can deepen connections in modern relationships.
We've been through it all, divorce, heartbreak, and figuring out what real commitment looks like. Now we're here to share our journey and the lessons we've learned along the way.
Whether you're experienced in open relationships or just curious, we want this to be a space where we can dive into real conversation about everything from swinging to polyamory.
We'll talk candidly about jealousy, desire, emotional growth, and radical honesty. Basically, everything that comes up when you step outside the conventional rules of love.
And if you're enjoying the show, we'd love it if you could take a moment to leave us a 5-star review on whatever platform you're listening to. It really helps us reach more people.
Absolutely. And we'd also love to hear from you. Our contact info is in the show notes, so feel free to reach out with your thoughts and questions. We'll definitely get back to you.
So let's dive in. It's time to hack love and discover what truly authentic connections look like. Welcome back to episode 23.
Welcome back. 23. That's a lot. It's funny when I scroll through on the podcast app and I'm looking through, I'm like, we have a lot of content.
I know.
I think we're nearing some of our other favorite podcasts in their content levels because I think we're just doing it all the time.
Yeah. We can't help ourselves.
We can't. We're always thinking, oh, that would make a good episode like we did today.
Yeah.
Last episode, I was talking about the harrowing story of my accidental adventure, priapism, and my ER visit. If you haven't listened to that one, it's a gas. You should listen to it.
Cautionary tale.
Yes, cautionary tale. And we're 10 days past that now, maybe 11 almost.
Yeah, the 21st.
So, yeah. And I feel like I'm fully healed. It's still slightly sore, but we've not been following doctor's orders.
It hasn't stopped us at all. It really has not. And I feel like it's sped healing, if anything. There was bruising. So you guys, the way bruising works, it responds to gravity. It's pooled blood, right? So the bruising...
Yeah, the bruising was moving down my
slowly off. Went down. Yeah, it was where all the injections were, around the top and the middle. And then slowly all the bruising went down to the bottom. Like, it went down to your...
To my balls.
Balls.
My ball sack was bruised.
So you had the black ball sack. Like, it was real special. So he didn't see it. So he was like, I guess I'm healed. I'm down there, right? So
yeah.
I
see. You're like, what is this giant bruise?
I was like, lifting it up. I was like, dude, you got like
hematoma on your ball sack, which is like, not a pleasant thing to think about.
So it had all just gone down there and pooled. He wasn't actually bruised there. It's just that kind
of. Yeah, I've never known that bruises move like that.
Yeah, they do. That's how they heal. Crazy. They spread.
And... We saw some friends tonight and we were telling them the story. They were just like, what? Told the whole story that we told you guys. And one of the girls says over, so you got your BBC. And I was like, yeah. And she goes, your big bruised cock.
Exactly.
So that's what I had. But now it seems to be just fine. And we're thinking it's because we had sex every single day since that day, which we should not have had against doctor's orders. We just kept doing it, thinking that we were doing the right thing, which maybe we
couldn't help ourselves. And honestly, if it was that much of an emergency, your urologist would have fit you in. That's how doctor's offices work.
Christmas Eve when I called them.
I don't care. If it was that much of an emergency for us to not have sex
they
during
would
this
just
time,
don't do it.
They would have said something else
that
to
assumes
us.
They care.
I'm just making this up to justify our poor decision making.
Yes.
Don't do what we did.
Don't do what we did.
We can get in trouble.
Listen to your doctors. Definitely don't mess with the ED medicines unless you are following instructions from someone who knows what they're doing, because that's not what I did. So if you want to hear that story, go back an episode and you can relive it. I'd rather not, except for the good parts.
Except for the fact that you would 10 out of 10 do it again.
Yeah, I'd totally do it again. Totally do it again.
Every guy who is like, but for the hard cock for 4 hours that was actually having fun.
Yes. I wonder if I would exchange the entire episode to have the entire episode back. And I think if I knew it wouldn't damage my penis, I might it was that good.
It was that good, even having the... I bet you could have gotten the same effect without the overdose.
Yes.
And that's what we're going for next time. Exactly.
But I'm going to ask my urologist if I can continue using the Trimix because it turns you into a stud muffin for a long period of time.
it could be a problem.
And yeah, so and they say you shouldn't do it more than, what, twice a month? Is that right? Or in some sort of limit on how many times you should be doing Trimex.
You can't do it more than twice in 24 hours or something. But fine. I've read a lot of different things.
I think I did read that. So maybe it's fine for weekly.
But we need to get off of Reddit and into a doctor's office. And we recommend this for you guys too, because Reddit is full of people
steered us wrong.
Combining Viagra and Cialis and all kinds of doses of Trimex.
Maybe they really need it. Like, I mean, I don't really need the ED medicine. It's just nice to have. And
yeah, and you just don't use it for that. Yeah, I think that if anything, you're going to need, like, if you're going to play with it recreationally, it's going to be a tiny touch.
Yeah. Or maybe a little more than that.
More is not more. You're like, yes, it is.
No, I'm going to be careful because it was too scary. And yeah, definitely if you're messing with that stuff, check the directions. Do it right from the start. Test it. We didn't really have time to test it with ourselves. We went straight into this play session with this couple that we wanted to be with. And happened that he happened to have the medicine. I didn't even have my own. So it was an ad hoc deal.
Don't be using other people's medicines, obviously. That should go without saying. Don't do what we say, not what we do.
Okay, so what's transpired since the last episode? So we've had all this great lovemaking, and we've had the house to ourselves a lot because the kids are out.
Yeah.
And other Christmas gatherings and such. So that's good.
That has been really nice. We love our time together.
Yes, it's very nice.
There was a New Year's Eve party with our lifestyle group here in our town, and it was going to be just a chill, like, PJ party. And we ended up just deciding not to go. We were both sleepy. Like, we just weren't sure if we were in a play mood, and it definitely did turn into a big play party. And so I think that was probably the best decision for us.
Yeah. And some people are sick. It's going around. So we're like, do we want to risk being sick at the first of the year? We have a lot of stuff coming up. And
we do.
We'd rather not get sick if we can avoid it, and all that kissing and stuff.
That's the thing, you guys. I don't know if you're just randomly, this is the only episode you've listened to us and you're just starting the lifestyle. It's not actually the STDs that people complain most about. It's giving each other COVID and colds and like just that basic stuff from all the making out.
Lots of making out. So that party last night, they told us about it when we saw them. We went to a New Year's Day party with the same people.
Yeah.
And to watch some football and stuff.
It was vanilla, had kids.
Kind of vanilla, had kids, yeah. But we did get in a corner and swap stories, and especially that story I just told.
Yeah.
And so they told us about the party last night, and it was very much a play party. Everyone was fucking everybody.
Yeah.
And they were very happy about it and had a good time. But it wouldn't have been for us last night.
I don't think so.
We would have been sitting in the corner probably with ourselves. We probably would have been doing it too.
We probably just would have been with ourselves.
Yeah, these are all people we know already, and they're, you know, either we've decided it's not going to happen with them or whatever the reason is.
It's a group. Yeah, we really love, like, we're super close to probably half that group.
Yeah, really like
and
them.
And yeah, really love. The friendships we have made in this lifestyle are just amazing. Like, the most interesting, fun people and conversations.
Conversations are great.
They're just
you don't have those conversations at vanilla parties.
And zero bullshit.
Part of it. But they're friends. We consider them friends. In fact, we were talking on the way home today that our social life sucked before we got in the lifestyle. We were like, because we were together all the time, and the vanilla stuff that happened, we just didn't really have much interest in because it was just the same thing. And if we'd watch football at a different friend's house today, a vanilla friend's house, it would have been fairly similar, but without the fun stories. And the mutual, we know each other in different ways.
It's fun to have a little secret.
Yeah.
It just is. I don't know. Does that make us weird?
No, I think everyone likes a little secret.
I don't know, but not everyone. Like, think about it, like some of our super vanilla friends, right?
Well, they have secrets. 100% have secrets.
You think everybody
probably
has
more
secrets?
Than we do because we're more open.
We are a little, aren't we?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Some people, I just think, though, they just have let themselves get old and don't have libido and don't care. They don't have that spark, and there probably isn't much going on, right? They're just playing golf and driving the minivan. And
yeah, there's that. I think a few months ago, we went to a friend's house before a festival we went to.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was just a normie thing, and they would not let us go. They kept talking to us and talking to us. And we had to go to the festival, and we're like, and I was done. You saw me. I was like, not wanting to talk anymore. And
this
woman was just talking my ear off, and he was talking your ear off.
Yep.
And I think they were just bored. They wanted someone in their house talk to.
Somebody.
I think that's what it was, or maybe we're just that ingratiating. But
I know. That's
but
funny.
Yeah, that was like, that's a good comparison.
Yeah.
And we're not, we sound like we're down on monogamy or down on vanilla. We're not.
Not at all.
But it's just what's interesting to us is open conversations, funny stories, people who are themselves, people who are authentic. And we just find that more in the lifestyle. It's our experience. Now, it's not everyone's. They don't have the same groups we have and friends we have. But I'm assuming, and we hear a lot about people who are in lifestyle because of the friendships. In the end, they have these great friends.
Yep.
Some of them they slept with. Some of them they haven't. And our social life's on fire. These guys have stuff going on all the time. And we're getting introduced to two other different groups that are just as big, if not bigger. And
they have been described as play aggressive and play
forward. Right.
So first it was like, this group is play forward. So I thought, okay, so more play oriented than in our group. So I'm like, that seems like a lot. And I was like, alrighty. And then she told me about the other group. And then she was like, oh, they're play aggressive. I was like, oh God, they're even ahead.
They're ahead of those guys.
I was like, what does that even entail?
We're not experienced enough to know. We haven't been to enough parties to know.
But no.
I know ours have been, if they're play forward, they're great. Because they're...
Oh, yeah.
They're not even that because...
Our parties are play open.
Yeah.
Play, it's basically, because I think, and that's how I would describe our relationship, is open. Like, we're just open to possibilities, open to learning, open to each other, having connections with others, open to growth and change.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I love the most. Like, even saying we're swingers feels, it feels more active than we actually end up being. You know what I mean? We're very situational and we're not poly, but we do like connection. I don't know. And that's what you can do too, you guys. If you're looking into this, this is why I think some people don't like labels, is because it is constantly changing and you've got this beautiful relationship with your partner and you're both learning about each other and you're growing and changing. And that's the fun of it. Like, it doesn't have to be static. That's really is part of the fun.
Yeah. And at least in our group, you don't have to do anything with anyone.
Mm-mm.
And there's really no pressure.
Mm-mm.
There's some implications. If you're at a party where people are playing, maybe you're open to it too. People take their shot or not. And
you'll get a vibe.
You'll get a vibe, yeah. And if they're good people and they're courteous and considerate, and usually a group is going to mirror the head or the organizers of that group.
Yes.
In any group, not just lifestyle. We know our organizers are just super good human beings.
Very.
Very courteous, very helpful people. Very fun, good family people. Good
bring people together.
They bring people together and they just like that fun. They have events, they have trips together, they have parties at each other's houses, they have big rockin' New Year's parties, or they'll go to a club for someone's birthday. So there's always something going on. They're just very social people.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really have to hook up with anyone if you don't want to. So you could be in this lifestyle, go to some parties and just be with each other. And you could have sex with each other at the party, which is odd.
Mm-hmm.
If your relationship is open to that point where you can have sex either in the back bedroom at a party, which would be one step, or together in the party, which we've done.
Yeah.
But you can be together.
And it's just extra sexy. It's definitely not vanilla having public sex, right?
Or even going to the back room at a vanilla party. No one does that.
No.
Right?
So it does. It's a way to be more adventurous. There's so many ways to add adventurousness to your relationship without having to take the extra step of involving other people if you're not ready for that.
Yeah, one way, if you're just starting out, one way to do that is just meet some people who are in the lifestyle. You can do that through the apps. Go to dinner with them. Have a nice conversation. And show your interest. And then if you get to the point where they're introducing to other people or just making those friendships early on, and then you'll probably find yourself at someone's house party. And in that case, you can be there and just be together and not play with anyone and just see how that feels and try it on. Because that's what we did.
We just went to coffees over and over again until we met this couple that organized this amazing group. And they invited us to join their group. It's a big online chat. And that's how we met a ton of people. And that's how we have continued to meet tangentially other people. I think the lifestyle here is much bigger than we even realize. I think the longer we just continue to socialize, the more people we're going to meet and the more variety we're going to see. And I think it's going to be fun.
Yeah. One of the couples we met with today said they are bringing, or they wanted to invite two more couples to our party that's coming up soon.
Mm-hmm.
They were clearing it with us. I'm like, they vouch for them. That's fine. Like, anyone can bring anybody to a party if they vouch for them. So we're getting other people we don't know coming into our house soon who are not in this group.
And one is from the play forward group and the other is from the play aggressive group. So this could be one of our most play aggressive parties yet.
I think it will be because everyone's really getting to know each other better. I think we had a lot to do with this group congealing too, because there are some people who've come in recently.
Yeah.
So our few parties we've had, that are these special unique parties. And they're not play parties necessarily, although people play there.
They're cuddle puddle bonding parties.
Yeah. And so the folks who are coming in new and fresh, but they're meeting people and now it's just growing. So I think we're catalyzing a lot of this relationships they're having. Of course, they're doing it too. And yeah. So it's just continues to expand and be better.
It's great. This is actually, I don't know if we mentioned this when we talked about our parties, but the first one we had, we literally didn't know anyone that we invited except
the couple that we met that introduced us to the group.
Except for DJ and
that's how
wife.
We met the group was yeah. literally at our home.
We just invited everybody over. They invited us to their group and we invited everybody in the group to our party. And not everyone came because it's a very specific kind of party. So it was the people who were down for it. But it was a perfect way for us to just dive in and get to know people.
I remember someone saying the next day, saying that was just an amazing party and we still can't believe you let all these strangers in your house.
I know. They were like, I can't believe you didn't know anyone.
Like, yep. And we're like, no, we didn't know him.
Did DJ and his wife come to that?
DJ did, but his wife was traveling.
Okay. Yeah. They have kids and they're always coming and going. Yeah. So he was the only one we knew.
That's right. I guess the tips here are, put yourself out there and you don't have to jump in and do all the things. I think one of the mistakes we made early on was we jumped in thinking, okay, this is how this goes and we have to do what is expected.
Yeah.
And okay, so we've got this couple, we're going to go out with them, then we're going to go home with them and see how that works. And it worked, we did it.
And we learned.
And we learned and it wasn't terrible. It was just another experience. But it wasn't until we had done that a few times, I said, wait, let's just create our own way that we do this.
Yeah.
And it might be slower. It might be with people that we specifically seek out.
Yeah.
I don't know that it definitely could happen, and it probably will happen, that we meet someone on the apps and then we decide we're going to be with them. We're going to get to know them first, because that's the other piece of what we do. Some people don't need to get to know anyone before they fuck them.
It's right.
That's their thing. There's a couple we know in the lifestyle that just, they just like sex, and they like sex with a lot of different people. And it's fun for them, and they smile about it, and they talk about it the next day like they were naughty, and it was really fun. But they've been married a long time, they've been in the lifestyle a long time, and they've just reached that point where, hey, this is our fun thing, this is our hobby, this is what we do. It doesn't affect the relationship at all that we can see.
No.
And they're just happy for each other, and they're happy together, which
yeah.
is, again, one of the benefits we always talk about. Is you know when people are in the lifestyle when they're long time married, and they're still all over each other.
And they're very happy.
There's a game called Spot the Swinger where you go to the airport and you look for people who are in the lifestyle and you can just pick them out. They have wedding rings on and they're super happy with each other and they're smiling and they have a good time. It's something that is joked about a lot.
They're usually pretty well dressed and yeah. they're stylish.
They're in good shape.
Yeah.
Even if they're older, they're just taking care of themselves and they're fit. And
somebody's on their testosterone.
Somebody's working out a lot. Yep. Somebody's making sure they look good. And they're still super into each other.
Yep.
And the ones who are not in lifestyle are the dining dead.
Dining dead.
Dining
I've
dead.
Never heard that.
Sitting across the table from each other, just staring at their phones and just eating. Every relationship has its slow moments, but
sure.
It's just funny how you can see that when you go out.
It's just so amazing how playing in the lifestyle ignites our sex life the way
yeah,
it does.
It really does.
Crazy counterintuitive.
Like just after this horrific medical experience I had, the need to reconnect, the reconnect sex. I think that's a better word for it than reclaim.
I like that.
Reconnect sex. We come back together. It was so hard not to sleep with each other those first couple days. I was like, oh my God.
We only made it a day.
We only made it one day. Okay.
Like, don't, you're giving us too much credit.
Failed, yeah. And even though my penis was still purple and sore, and you were sore, and we
it
were
was
still,
so good looking.
But, but we did it anyway because we're reckless like that. And
take it.
But it's the reconnect sex that we really wanted. So that reconnecting with each other is like always better.
It was really hot because we were trying to go slowly and be gentle.
Yeah.
We made
that's
it
right.
just
we
even hotter.
Kind of forced it.
Oh my God. It was so hot.
It was really hot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what else do we have?
Instead of going out last night, we stayed in with each other.
We had our final little tiff of the year, which we don't really fight much.
No.
And we don't get in arguments, and we certainly don't yell at each other ever. And I don't know, we got triggered last night, about an hour before the new year changed.
Aiden had a really good idea, and it started off as a really good idea, but it was interesting. We actually recommend this, and none of this, I think, is actually bad. I think the more you communicate and the more you do with your partner, the better. And the more you uncover, pick up rocks and clear out roaches, the better. Your idea was we would talk about, do a year in review, highlights, and then predictions for the new year. And so that devolved into, let's look at our phones, like pictures on our phones from the last year. And then we thought, okay, so we did that on my phone. And we thought, oh.
And that was fun, reminiscing over the year, the things that we did, the trips we went on. It was really nice to do that. Then
I said, oh, let's look in my hidden folder, because that's where we keep all of our naughty pictures. So let's do year in review on the hidden folder. Well, I didn't have a ton on there, so we ended going all the way back to the beginning. And I hadn't hidden photos until you and I started dating, because I never took nudes before you and I started dating.
And I have a full suite of hidden photos in my hidden folder that should be hidden.
It should be. And so we looked through those, and that was fun too. And then we came upstairs to your bedroom, and now we're going to look through your hidden photos. And yours went way back, because it turned out you had done a search, I guess, for your ex-wife's name in photos, like you can do in Apple Photos, and you had hidden all her photos so that
they wouldn't come up in my memories.
Yeah, they wouldn't come up in your memories, which I totally understand. So we ended up going through at least an hour looking through all of your old family photos with her in it and the kids and everything.
Which in and of itself was an experience, because we're looking at me happy with, or, you know, supposedly happy with my ex-wife and my family. And we had family times together, and it was sweet.
You were together a long time.
Yeah, we were together a long time. We had a lot of stuff to look at, but we had, you know, hundreds of hidden photos that had her face in them that the iPhone had put into that hidden folder for me. Thank you.
Yeah.
But I still got to see my family together and just look at old. So that all, you're there looking at photos of me, sometimes happy with my family.
Yeah.
And that's got to hit a little bit, right?
It really, I know. And I told you this, like, I know you so well at this point, and I know the context of all that. And I've never, ever felt threatened by her.
Well, of course not.
And for me, I actually enjoyed that part, the looking at the family photos, because it's part of your life, and it's part of you, and it's important. And I love and have gotten to know your children, and getting to see them younger and at different stages makes me feel closer to them and to you, to know more of your history. I loved that. That, I thought that was beautiful. It didn't bother me in any way. That's why I like looking at all your old pictures and your baby pictures. Mm-hmm. It was no different to me.
It's got to be emotionally charged a little bit.
I don't know. No, not as far as...
Not jealousy, but just like it's emotionally charged. It was my life before you. I don't know. It seems like it would have something, but...
It was no different, honestly, than looking at your old pictures with your sister and brother.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That was just like that for me. Oh, wow. This is real life. I love seeing your life because I love you.
Okay.
And putting everything into context and its point in our relationship. I do get jealous, and I will tell you.
Yeah, you know, you'll tell me. I didn't think you were not telling me you were jealous. It just seems like it would be a little bit heightened of emotion to see that. But that's how I would probably be with you a little bit. Nothing to really remark about, so maybe I shouldn't remark.
I also knew that we could have gotten on my phone and looked back at all the pictures of me and my ex-husband and my family during those same years. When I had a big smile on my face, when I know I wasn't happy. And I don't know how would that have felt to you?
Probably the same as you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Once you think about it, especially since we know each other in the context of it. So we're going through all those, and there are so many. At some point you skipped ahead, and we were trying to find the point at which the pictures of his ex-wife stopped and the pictures of us started. And then... So we
saw some of those beautiful pictures from the first night together, and the first night we went to a cabin together and really just had this amazing connective experience. And we were just gushing over that and remembering that time.
And then we got to the point where we had broken up, which, go back and listen to the breakup episodes if you want to hear about our
breakup. A year and a half later after the cabin.
Yeah. And there was immediately screenshots of his Bumble account that he made, which was very detailed and lots of pictures and text and everything, and then pictures of him with this woman that he slept with during that
I'll back up a little bit. So when we broke up, within a few weeks I was like, I can't stay in my house alone, I'm heartbroken, this is terrible, I need to find a woman to date. That was my goal. And so we've talked about this many times, we went on several app dates, they were okay. And this one woman who I dated for a very, very brief time, but I did sleep with, popped up. And you hadn't seen her picture yet at that time. And
I did see her at the nail salon.
Yeah,
last
she did
week.
Just recently. She looked 10 years older than she was 2 years ago. different story.
but it looked, the picture, I think what got me was that you guys were out walking outside and you were like arm in arm, close together and smiling like you were a couple. And I just was thinking, like, my heart sunk because mm-hmm. during the time we were broken up, like, I couldn't even think about, I was leaving the house for work and that was it. And I was just crying all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, I wasn't out smiling and going on dates or anything.
Right.
And so I just thought, even love me? So we ended up, anyway, you go ahead.
No, go.
No, I got super triggered because at some point you said it, you'll hear during our breakup story that, like, I did one night get on, after I went to the nail salon, the nail tech lady said, my neighbor met her husband on Match.com. You should go on Match.com. So I go home. Gen X, never been on apps before. Don't know what I'm doing. So I sign up for Match. And I put in all these parameters. And I'm sitting in my bed on my laptop. And I'm like, I'm with this. And then I get flooded by nothing I want. 22-year-olds with teardrop tattoos in Indiana, fresh out of jail. And I was like, they were just coming in so rapidly that I just quickly canceled the account. So then I tried Bumble the same night. This is like over a span of 2 or 3 hours that I'm just in bed doing this one night. And so I got my Bumble account set up, which nothing much more than a picture and maybe a couple of things like education. I don't think I have any text on it, but like very brief. It was the one page. There was no like flipping through things. And it was, so then I went and put in my parameters of what I was looking for just to do a search. And it comes back at things and it says, 0 matches found. And I was like, fuck this. I'm paying for this. This is ridiculous. So I went and canceled that too. And then you said something. So I know that's my lived experience of the apps. It's all of a 2 to 3 hour span. And then you said something to me last night that you said that I was on the apps for 2 months and I just lost my ever loving shit and started yelling at you. I was like, you are not going to tell me what my experience was. That is patently untrue. I was fucking depressed. I was crying all the time. Yeah. At the very end of our breakup, I tried getting on the apps out of pure desperation. I was on them for about 2 to 3 hours, not 2 to 3 months. Nothing happened. And also, you were on fucking Bumble from the day we started dating till the day we broke up a year and a half later. And I didn't even know about it until a year in. And then even then, I didn't get mad at you for it. I said, you know what? We're in the middle of divorces. Who am I to tell you what to do? And here I am getting bullshit. And I was so fucking furious. I was almost got up and left. And you just were actually pretty chill about it. And like, we realized like at that time, when we broke up, the main reason we broke up is because we were not communicating. And so we were both making up stories and filling in the gaps of the things that we were not telling each other. So I didn't tell him that I had still been texting this guy I'd seen before. I hadn't been seeing him. I hadn't been having sex with him. But I didn't tell him we were texting. You hadn't told me you were on Bumble, even though I told you you could be, mainly because I knew you already were and I didn't want to make it bad. I just wanted to give you permission, and then it would just be easier to take if I gave you permission. And I was working all the time at that point, and I wasn't giving you the time you needed. And
you didn't want to be with me.
Yeah, I didn't want to be with you. I didn't love you, and I must be on the apps for 2 months. I don't know where you get the 2 months thing. I don't know where that came from.
Well, okay, so let's back up a little bit. So when I mentioned that you had been on for 2 months, it was because I had taken a note at the time and a litany of other things that I was upset about. And I'd written in my notes that you had been on since at least, this was December 2022, and you had been on for at least 2 months. And the reason I put that together was you showed it to me after we got back together, because we gotten back together and we were safe to share those things. So I actually saw the Bumble thing. I saw your photo on it. I saw what was on it. And I didn't really know why I'd said the note. But anyway, So I was just basically saying, you were on Bumble for a couple months, and that's when you lost it. We weren't in the middle of a conversation about Bumble. It wasn't whether or not I dated or not. It was like, you were on Bumble for a couple months, and that's when you lost your shit. Like, I was not. And so your lived experience was, you were not on that app very long. My lived experience was, I knew for a fact you were on it well into when we were already back together. Whatever the reason, it might be you canceled the account, but it stayed live.
I don't know how that works, but so it doesn't all matter. I know,
we don't have to relitigate it. I'm just saying that the experience we had was the same but different. You had your experience and your knowledge of it. I had my experience, my knowledge of it. We both filled it in because memories are fuzzy or whatever. But I think the point is that it struck fear in you, that I didn't believe you, that I wasn't listening to you, or that I had made something up and put it in there, which in, from my perspective, is not. I know what I saw and I put it there and whatever.
My perspective is I know what I lived and I know what I did, and I'm not going to be told what I did.
Right.
That I did something that I didn't do. And not be told that
my memory was faulty and that I didn't see what I saw.
And I'm not going to be told that my memory is faulty when I was actually the person on the apps and you were not there when I was on the apps.
Okay. We've done this already.
Like you what have
we're here
to...
What we're here to share is, what I'm sharing here is that we both thought we were right. And it was the exact same thing that broke us up, is that we both were in our corner. You were in your corner. I was in my corner. And we were both stuck in our belief system. My belief was that you were fucking around, you were being sneaky, and you were doing all this sketchy shit. And yours was, I don't have time. I want to give them time, but I've got other things going on and no one's going to control me and I'm not going to tell them what I'm doing. Those are the two things that drove us apart in the first place.
I was telling you what I was doing all the time. You just didn't believe me, that I was just working and passing out exhausted. You were convinced. And like, and at this point,
we've done a whole episode on this. I know. I'm trying to get to the point.
But I feel like we're still in the same place. Well, no, where you still obviously believe that I'm like out fucking other people and I was on apps for 2 months. That's just patently untrue. Well, like, I don't know what to do with that.
You just completely.
Like, I can't prove a non-existent thing. You just
completely stretched what I was saying. That's not what I was saying. I wasn't saying you were fucking around. I was saying that you were being sketchy. You were hiding your texts. You were lying to me. You were omitting things. I have a whole list of it, which I'm not going to go into. A whole list of things at the time when we broke up, I was like, she did all these things. I interpreted all of it as sketchy, lying, and then she breaks up with me, or I break up with her, and everything that happened. We've already done this whole thing.
If
you want to hear the story, go to the old podcast, because we're not relitigating this right here. Listen to the old podcast.
So you'll all agree.
What you're hearing is...
He broke up with me. Don't ask for a break.
So I'm going to edit all this shit out, because we're not doing this again. This is not why we're talking on this podcast right now.
Okay.
So what we're talking about is, what did we learn? Right? Did we learn anything? Maybe not.
If you still don't believe me...
Oh my God.
I think deep down...
I can't believe you're doing this again.
I can't believe you are. I can't believe you're hanging on to this. I think you still believe that I was on the apps for 2 months.
Where did you get that? I'm not talking about that anymore. I'm saying what we had, I think, I'm glad we're recording this, because maybe you'll listen to it again and realize where this conversation should be going and where it is going, because you're still defending this. I'm not defending anything. We made mistakes, both of us. I had my belief system, was wrong. You had your belief system, was wrong. That's why we broke up. That's why we had the worst heartbreak of our lives. And the lesson there is, maybe we're not fucking thinking correctly. Maybe we're not remembering things the same way. Maybe we're not interpreting things the same way. That's the lesson for anybody listening to this, is you can be so right and you can be so wrong at the same time in any relationship. Even one that you've heard for 23 episodes now is pretty much the pinnacle of relationships, in my opinion. Even these are still difficult. Let's not relitigate. Let's not go over the past. Okay. Let's not talk any more about that, because we've already done it. If we want to listen to it again, we'll go to our own podcast and listen to the old one. I don't want to do that because it's not fun. But the point is, we can all have issues like this that come up, and there are wounded parts of us that are prodded, and traumatic incidents that are triggered, even if you're in the best relationship you can possibly be. And how do you repair those things? So let's talk about how we repaired it last night, if we have. Maybe we haven't. But let's talk about how we repaired it last night.
If you can accept that I was not on the apps for 2 months,
yes, then, I believe
then,
you.
Then
done.
We have repaired it.
Done deal. Repaired.
Thank you. And then I never fucked anybody else but you.
Sure.
Sorry. Yes. And I will accept that when you asked me for a break, I assumed it was because you didn't love me and you wanted to fuck other women. And that was the most logical explanation for me. And what you have told me, and I have to believe you because you're coming from you, is that was not the case. And so I will just have to believe that.
I've given you, just like you've given me all the evidence, where I was at, where my mind was at, why I felt the way I did, why I interpreted things the way I did. And you know me. I'm not making that shit up for the past 2.5 years.
Yeah.
And I know you. You're not making that shit up.
I know.
But we're still talking about it. And you're still like, okay, I guess I believe you because I have to because I'm with you.
I do believe you. I do. Especially the more we talk about it, honestly.
It does help.
It has helped. There was something you said on one of our previous podcasts that you said that... You think that one of the main reasons we broke up is because you felt unlovable. Like, you didn't believe that I could love you. And that had never occurred to me.
Mm-hmm.
But it put everything in a context that I could understand it. And that's when I left last night, I was really trying to get into your frame of mind and feel what you were feeling at the time of the breakup. And so I was like, okay, if I was so in love with you, but I felt unlovable and I felt like you didn't love me, I would be scared, I would be furious, and I would probably break up with you to protect myself, and I would probably immediately get on the apps, especially if I was a guy. I think maybe there's some gender differences here, to get on the apps and use distraction and sex and other women to move on and make myself feel better. And there are so many ways of coping with this kind of distress and heartbreak. And mine was isolation and sobbing and sad songs and burying myself in my work. And yours was getting on apps and pretending it didn't exist. And when I saw that, the picture, and when we talked about, you know, when I found out that you had been, you know, dating during that time, I just assumed it meant you never loved me in the first place. Because for me, if I had just gone out and started dating, that it would have, I would have had to been completely over you by that point.
Yeah.
So I was attributing my own motivations to you, which mm-hmm. were totally different people, right? So
you nailed it. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
And the way I cope was different from the way you coped. And that's okay. We just did it different ways.
We were equally heartbroken. Mine was,
I need to distract myself and get out of this mental depression that I'm in from this experience. And yours was, I'm going to go work my ass off and distract myself and then be away from people and isolate.
Yeah.
Two different ways to do it. Neither of them's really good. You're isolating, so it's unhealthy.
Totally.
I'm seeing people and faking it. That's unhealthy. And neither's great. What do you do in those times? I did a lot of other things, a lot of self-work. I did a lot of meditation.
Yeah.
I did some psychedelics and some ceremonies and really just tried. My goal was to just push my way out of it with just changing my mental state. Dating was one of those things. The rest of them actually were far more powerful for me because they were more about my growing myself. And then ultimately I ended up questioning, why did this happen? Why was I acting this certain way? Why was I so paranoid? Like, why was I trying to find things out so much? Why was I filling in the gaps so much? And I think, like you said, it ultimately came down to, I've never really been loved like this. You have before, but I haven't. And I didn't know what that felt like. And then if I could love someone so much and have it be this off, then I'll never love again. And I'll never be loved again.
I felt like that too.
Yeah. But you knew you could. I didn't know I could. I didn't have the base experience with a 12-year relationship that was very positive. I had a lot of relationships. I had a very mediocre marriage for 22 years and girlfriends before that, but never the love that we have. And you've had something close to it. So I think that's a difference in experience, which unfortunately for me made it much harder. Made it much harder to understand.
Yeah.
And when we were breaking up, my mission was to really just determine if you did really love me. And my little devil on my shoulder would say, she did this and she did that. And she was on the app or whatever it was. And it would tell me, yeah, that's confirming that, nope, this was bullshit. Just like I always thought when growing up that love was dumb and you don't really have someone you love forever and we all change and we're meant to be serial monogamous and we're all meant to plant our seed as guys and every receptacle positive, all the stuff that you think of when you're, you know, a young man. And I was out to confirm or disprove this love theory I had, which is just really ridiculous. And that was my motivation in trying to detective myself through this thing. And it's definitely unhealthy, definitely stupid. And it's what led to our lack of communication, your lack of availability, my interpreting that as she's just not into me, so I need to go find someone who is or figure out how I'd make this relationship work within that context. And at one point I did come to you. The biggest argument we ever had was I went to your house after we had broken up for this period to basically say, hey, however you want to do this, we can do it. If you need to date other people while we're dating, this is actually a very negative way to do an open relationship. So if you need to date other people while we're dating and make that work, or you need a third, or you need something I'm not giving you, I'm willing to do it. I was so desperate. to just make this work, that I was willing to just pull back and say, I don't need to be everything to you if you need other things. I was convinced you needed something besides me.
That breaks my heart.
And I offered that up to you and you're like, I didn't even get that far because you were so mad at me.
Oh, I was furious. I didn't know what you were talking about. I was like, I don't want anybody. I don't need any.
So we
I thought you were like.
We didn't understand each other.
No.
Yeah. After that, we were pretty much done. And you blocked me and then we weren't able to communicate. And it just got worse and worse from there. And I was like, okay, I'm miserable as a human being, the most miserable I've ever been in my life. And I coped with it the way I coped with it. I don't think anyone listening to this or us or we even care how we coped. If you care about how I coped with it, I think that's something I can't really help. I don't think that's important. I think it's we coped the way we coped, working through a very tumultuous, very heartbreaking time.
I understand it a lot more after the last 24 hours of talking.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, which I hate to beat a dead horse, and I made him a voicemail memo last night and then another one this morning that I almost didn't send him because I just felt like I have a really hard time expressing myself or being a burden or being negative or being perceived as any of the number of stereotypical like female negative tropes, right? Like the shrew, the critic. But the thing that overrides that for me is my commitment to making this relationship work that I've never had in any other relationship in my life, because I know that the death knell of us, or any relationship really, and this goes for you guys listening too, is when you stop talking or when you stop sincerely telling your partner what you're feeling, even the hard things, even if they're going to be annoyed, even if they think you're beating a dead horse, because there's, you know, as much as, you know, we don't want to relitigate the past, like there's still a lot that at least I got out of the last 24 hours of talking about things. Like there's still little edges.
What did we talk about in the last 24 hours?
There's still like little edges that we're smoothing and getting to know each other. And so I think it was really helpful for me to sit there and close my eyes and think about you and being you and who you are, who I've come to know, given your family history and how you grew up. And also just like you're an extrovert more and I'm more of an introvert. So your coping skills are going to be more extroverted, including dating. But that's also probably a little more male. And also if your core wound is not feeling lovable, you're going to want to fix that immediately. And how do you feel lovable? You get on apps and you get love,
yeah,
right?
Like you said, at a much more surface level,
yeah,
you'll turn on single males on field when you're feeling a little ick.
Exactly.
And it works. You said it works.
It works.
And so it was a
good analogy.
It's a cheap
God
sugar high.
That is so true.
Of attention.
Exactly.
That you can get, which I didn't get much because, again, I'm a guy trying to date on apps. You can get it as a woman easy.
I'm so sorry, guys. I'm so sorry. I understand.
It's hard out there for a pimp.
Never before the lifestyle would I have known how difficult it is for guys on apps.
Yeah.
I know it's hard for women too, but good grief. Wow.
So in the past 24 hours, we talked about all this stuff, shared some voicemails between each other. I think it's really good to do that because you can have your thoughtful, caring conversation one way and not trigger each other and really think about what you're saying. And then you can get one back and it's just, sometimes it's good to share one-way voicemails to really share your thoughts.
Yeah.
Other times you need to be in person and do it, right? And we did both.
We did.
But yeah, still have wounds from our wounds and we still wrestle like anyone with challenges in relationships. And we have these experiences that we would rather put out of our minds. We talk about that. Like, I don't want to talk about that. Even when we did the first podcast on our breakup, I didn't want to do it.
No.
I don't want to go into that again. And you were like, of course, you're like, that's going to hurt to talk about. And we were both like, oh, do we want to rehash this? But it's good to do it. And even now, it's really good to do it because we're getting our thoughts out. And the more you get it out, sunlight just cures a lot of things.
Yeah.
And you're able to, as you said, empathize with me, what you know of me, my upbringing. I'm doing the same thing with you.
Mm-hmm.
What it is that you want out of life, what you don't want again. And empathize with your viewpoint. I think that's just a part of the communication is the empathy that comes with it. Oh, that's how you felt. Mm-hmm. Or wow, that's surprising you would feel that way. That's not something I would do, but I feel that's something you might do.
Like, if I had the same background, upbringing, core wounds, whatever, I think I actually would have made the exact same choices that you made, probably, right?
Maybe, like, yeah.
And I was able to get there. Mm-hmm. And that was that first voice memo I sent you.
So that was part of us, that the last 24 hours is that you were able to get there and understand where I was coming from.
That was pretty huge.
Okay.
And then even more, because I sent you another one in the morning, but then you sent me one back after listening to two of them. And that was really beautiful, your message to me. You went really deep on just how your upbringing, which I knew, like a lot of Gen X kids, grew up being basically neglected.
Latchkey kids.
And not your middle child, and felt forgotten a lot mm-hmm. of times, and mm-hmm. not given the attention that you needed.
Mm-hmm.
And here I was, when we were first dating, I was in the middle of a divorce. I was working all the time. I had kids not driving yet, and I wasn't giving you the attention you needed. For whatever reasons. For me, it was good reasons. And I didn't understand why you didn't understand that. But I was hitting a very core wound.
Mm-hmm.
And so for you, instead of your automatic assumption, which we'll work on because I have my own, is like, you go to I'm unlovable instead of she's really struggling, right? Because that's the, when you're in that wound, it's primal. It's mm-hmm. that amygdala.
Yeah, I intellectually piece. Knew all the limitations you had in your life.
I know, right?
But emotionally, I was still feeling that.
Yeah. And that's
I was like, well, she doesn't want to, if she wanted to see me, she would. That was my go-to, which is not necessarily fair. If she wanted to see me, she would. And she doesn't, so she doesn't. And right. So that was what I went with. And that's unhealthy, and it's not fair.
And we were still seeing each other, like, at least 3 or 4 times a week at that point.
Seeing each other more, yeah.
I
yeah.
mean, we were.
It was a lot, but
it wasn't as much as we wanted. Both of us wanted.
Yeah, because we were totally on fire for each other.
We were. You are.
Even are now. And when you're on fire someone and you're not seeing them for 2-3 days, like, oh my God, I can't stand it. I can't stand it now.
Oh, it's being terrible. Away from you we're just days, next door to each other.
This is crazy.
We're pitiful. But then I think what I realized is, I think the two biggest things I realized from this that we'll take with us through our relationship and marriage, I hope, is me realizing that your core sensitivity is feeling forgotten or neglected, and mine is walking on eggshells and not being able to say mm-hmm. what I think or state my needs, because that was my family growing up, is my mom was, her moods were pretty up and down, and sometimes she was great and sometimes she was yelling, screaming and not rational, and it led us all to walk on eggshells and bury our own wants and needs, pretend everything was okay, and not say what we really thought. And so not rock the boat and try to keep the peace. And so if you think about it, you put two people together, one who's constantly wanting to keep the peace and not say the hard things, or he tends to isolate or withdraw, that's me, from any conflict. And then the other person who doesn't want to be neglected, and who feels like they might be unlovable. And I feel that actually, I realized I also have a core fear of being unlovable mm-hmm. because that's what happens when you grow up and your needs are not taken into account mm-hmm. or it's basically an unspoken rule or
whatever. Both of our needs were neglected as kids.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And
in
so,
different ways.
Yeah. Like you put that together and you could end up, if we are operating from our unhealthy selves, with what happened in our breakup.
Mm-hmm.
Which is us not talking, not saying the things. And then we're both, because of our core fears, filling in the gaps with our worst fear. Because that's what our minds do, to prepare us for the worst instead of seeing each other in the best light possible. And it's actually really counterproductive. So I think in our marriage and our relationship going forward, that's going to be our challenge and our, like I said in the car, way home tonight, like our area of growth where we can both grow together and in ourselves. Like you can learn that you're lovable because you fucking are. You're the most lovable person I've ever known.
Aww.
And I adore you. And I can learn that I can say things and that you don't run away.
Right. It got pretty heated last night.
And yeah.
I understood what was happening. It's not easy to take that, but I think we're able to defuse a situation quickly. And they always say, like, the best relationships are the ones you can repair quickly. Repair quickly is huge. If you hang on to things and resentments,
yeah,
and little things she said or he said that, you know, struck me raw and now I'm going to hold it against them, that's very unhealthy for a relationship. If you can repair it quickly, which we did really quickly, I thought.
I think so too.
Even just when we were having that same conversation and then overnight and this morning with the voicemails and then now.
Yeah.
That's super important. And I think we've figured that out because I know your intention. And that's one of the things that really in the end has made me trust this. One of the things is we know each other's intent.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not out to hurt you. And that was hard for you to come around to because in your relationship, in your past marriage, you were intentionally hurt. And I wasn't intentionally, I was unintentionally hurt by my ex-wife all the time. And you were intentionally hurt. So you didn't trust that anyone really would not use things against you or otherwise harm you. I know the intent of the things that you do. So I knew where you were coming from. I thought, even though I'm sitting there and we're sitting in the fire figuring it out, you've always understood my intent.
Yeah.
And that's something my ex never did. I would say something and she would twist it and not give me the grace to understand where I was coming from or why I was saying the thing I said. And that was a means to control.
Yeah.
She was able to control what I said because she'd be so sensitive to it. So eventually, guess what? I don't say anything.
That's my mom.
Yeah. Yeah, your mom and my ex-wife are very similar.
And that's how I got trained out of speaking, saying anything too. And what I want to do, my goal is to find that line where I'm always open and honest with you, but that it doesn't mean whatever I'm saying to you is not giving you a burden or is not giving you a problem to fix that is not your own, that is simply a window into who I am that will help us grow or how I'm thinking, but that I don't mean it as a criticism or a burden or a way to control you. And I think that's because I don't want to be a controlling person at all. I want you to be you. And that's my issue with telling you about my jealousy. And we've talked about that on the Hot Girl Insecurities episodes. Like, my hesitancy to tell you that I'm jealous is that it will make you change your behavior, that you will not connect with people that you might otherwise have connected with because you're trying to protect me.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I'll just stop telling you that I'm jealous. And I don't think that's healthy either.
No, don't want that. I need to hear it.
Yeah. And I want to hear when you are too.
Yeah. And I need to hear any of your emotions, lifestyle or not.
That's what we're realizing. It is applies to, this is where the lifestyle is so helpful. It highlights these areas, but they're pervasive through the rest of your life as well in other areas. And so if you've got something you're working on in lifestyle, whether it's expressing yourself or jealousy or control or issues, those all spill over into other areas of your life. And it's a real opportunity to continue to grow and learn with your partner. And that's, at the end, like when we were talking finally on our voice memos this morning, that's where I came to, was this place of hope and optimism, actually, that I was able to press send and send you the voice memos that I made. And my biggest fear, I had the pit in my stomach, is that you were just going to roll your eyes and want to leave me and not want to be with me anymore because I was being annoying. But I was like, I can't.
Where does that feeling come
from? I can't. I don't. It comes from,
because you know that's ridiculous.
I know it is. Right, it's completely ridiculous. Like, in, you know, in my family growing up and in my marriage, right? Like, it never went well if I expressed an opinion, a feeling. It was perceived and treated as a burden and a bother. And so it was, like you said, with your ex-wife, it slowly trains you and discourages you from expressing yourself, which isn't healthy. It got in the way of my getting to know myself, because the less you're expressing yourself, you don't know yourself. And then how can you share that with others if you don't even know yourself? And I said to you in one of the recordings, like, I want to take care of us and I want us to take care of ourselves individually as well. I don't want to disappear again like I did in my marriage, because I don't want you to lose the person you fell in love with. Like, it's really, my default is to just be, let's just keep everything even keel all the time. And just, if it's not that big a deal, just don't bring it up. It's not worth it. But at the same time, if you start doing that, it just builds on itself. And then all of a sudden we're strangers living together. Mm-hmm. And I don't want that.
The littlest things can really fester.
Yeah.
And grow into real blocks. And over years in a marriage, for sure. Yeah,
definitely.
And my guess is a lot of people listening to this can identify with a lot of things we're saying, especially when they're not communicating. Maybe they're in a marriage that's in trouble. We could talk about the email we got. We won't talk about any of it until we get clearance. But we got an email from a listener who was having serious struggles in his marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very complimentary of the things we've talked about. And we love hearing that, of course. And we just feel like we really want to help people here. And that's the best thing about doing these podcasts.
Yeah.
Is really helping people who've seen what we've gone through and seen how we've come around and we've repaired it and the things it took to do that.
Yeah.
And so I'm hopeful that we can share more about that story. We've sent him an email asking him if we can, so maybe we'll do that on a future episode. But there are people out there who are experiencing this stasis in unhappy marriages and desires and things they want to do and things they want to say that they can't. And we're just hopeful that our story can help people think maybe a different way, another way to approach it, another way to communicate, reevaluate how they show up in their relationships. That's hacking love. That's what we're trying to do. It's like, how can we use maybe the lessons of a lifestyle, the lessons of two people who really have at core an amazing close connection, but still have trouble sometimes getting past their wounds and getting past their histories and their programming and really breaking free of all that shit. And that to us is the revolutionary part of what we're doing. And I'm excited to hear more if anybody wants to share their stories, because I think it's just incredible once you have the knowledge and you're self-aware enough to understand what you bring to a relationship and what baggage you have. Like, it took me a while to figure out what my baggage was. It took me through that whole breakup and the ceremonies and deep work to figure out, oh, this is what I brought to it. I was acting this way because of a way that I grew up or something I had learned along the way that was a fallacy.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, that was helpful and hard. You know, it's hard to admit things like that about yourself, that, hey, maybe I'm not as perfect as I thought, or I'm imperfect, but I don't know why. And to really come around to, oh shit, this is what happened in hindsight. Because you could be in a current relationship right now and not really know what you're bringing to it. I used to say this about my ex a lot. Oh my God, she's this way, she's that way. If she would just change her personality, everything would be great. And that wasn't realistic. Now, of course, I had to eventually leave her because she was never going to change that personality. I just couldn't live with it.
You have to work on yourself.
You have to. And she wasn't willing to do that. She wasn't really willing to go deep and really address her programming and her trauma. And I was open to hearing it. I wanted to work with her through it, just like we do.
Yeah.
But she was so terrified of her own baggage and the things that might come up that she would give it very short attention and just move on to, you know, doing and being rather than really learning about herself. So that self-awareness, I think, is really key.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe ask yourself, what am I bringing to this? If I were on the other side of this. And for me in my marriage, it was, I've shut down because, hey, I've been trained that way.
Yeah.
But also I'm not going to get what I want. And so therefore I'm just going to rebel or ignore or avoid, leave town on business trips, get away from this person who really in her own way was hurt by her own histories. Mm-hmm. She had a lot of hurt in her life. She still does. She hasn't really addressed it, I'm sure. Hopefully she has now. But she had a lot of hurt and she wasn't willing to really get to the nitty gritty of it. And I wanted to get there in order to save our marriage and also to save myself. And in our case, much deeper, much more meaningful to me was really discovering what I took from my childhood and that marriage and all the relationships I had before and brought to our relationship, which by all accounts is the best anyone's ever seen. We get it all the time. You guys are just really unique, but we still have this. And so the more we talk about it, the more we share, the more voicemails we send back and forth, the better.
And I feel like I've learned a lot too, putting it together, the past wounds. I remember, and I look back on this and I can't believe I couldn't see it when I was texting with that guy, but not telling you about it. I thought at the time, like the story I was telling myself was, he can't control me. He doesn't just...
He would tell you that too.
You don't need to tell him. Yeah, exactly. He doesn't need to know everything about your life. And I'd come out of this super controlling marriage. So this was the narrative I was telling myself. But really, it was just me playing out again a fear of telling you something that I thought you might react negatively mm-hmm. to, and wanting to keep that from you and keep the peace.
Which was your MO during your marriage.
Exactly.
And you had to be that way.
And my childhood.
But you had to be that way.
I had to.
You were that way in your childhood because any other way got you a scream fight.
Yes.
In your marriage, any other way got you denunciation.
Yeah.
And there's no blame to go around on that. You were doing what you had to do to survive. But, and then we get together and that's what you know.
But I was like, there was nothing you had ever done to make me afraid of telling you anything. Mm-hmm. And I look back now and I just didn't feel safe yet in the relationship to tell you. Now I can't even imagine not telling you that somebody texted me or I was texting with somebody. That seems patently ridiculous to me. Of course, and now especially that we're in the lifestyle.
We're telling you anything, everything. Not just about it's just everything. Anything in your life that's affecting you.
Exactly.
And anything affects us, of course.
Because we've developed a pattern, and this is what maybe you guys can work on too, is you heal yourselves and each other with the way you react. So
really do.
When I am able to say what I'm feeling to you and you don't run away, that's healing. Mm-hmm. That means that I'm more likely to share with you again mm-hmm. in the future. And the same goes for you, right? Yeah. Whereas like you have maybe make a bid for attention and I pay attention to it and I mm-hmm. respond and I give you that attention, then you trust us even more. Yeah. And it's healing for you.
And when I see you fucking a guy and then you come back to me, that's healing. Because, oh, she came back. So now it can happen again.
That's, I think, honestly, for the wounds that we have, the lifestyle really is, it's really in your face healing.
Because it makes you it heal.
Forces you're like, oh, okay, we're going to do the craziest, wildest thing that would tear most people apart. And we're still solid.
Still here.
Okay, this is proof. It's like we get to, it's like we need, given our wounds, we need extra proof of each other's love. And this is exactly.
We took it to the extreme.
To the extreme.
Like, am I really lovable?
I wonder.
Then you come back, still lovable.
Still extremely lovable because you fucked a gorgeous girl and you still want me. And I wonder if that's a thing in the lifestyle. We're not the only ones who like the lifestyle for that reason, for the extra security it gives you, which is so...
Like, I feel more secure with you being in it than out of it.
100%.
If we were just normal, which we would be if we hadn't gone this route. If one of us said, I'm never doing that, I could never do that.
Yep.
Which most people would probably say.
Yep.
But if we had done that, we'd be fine.
Yep.
We would have more questioning. No doubt in my mind that we would be further apart.
I would just be wondering what was going on in your head.
Yeah, and I'd be wondering what was going on in your head. Like, is she feeling this way? Like, she acted a little different today, but she's not telling me. Like, you might not have told me last night when we were having this conversation. You might have held it back.
Exactly.
And not screamed at me.
I'm so sorry.
No, you were upset. And you needed to do that. And I needed to hear it. And that's why we had this conversation. That's why we had the voicemails. And that's why we're having this conversation right now.
Yeah.
Is because you shared that. Yeah. You did not hold it back. In your marriage, you would have held it back.
I would.
That is not allowed.
Yeah.
You have to share it. And I have to share mine too.
Yes.
And I shared mine later because I needed to hear you and show you that you're being heard. And in the morning, we had slept on it, and I said, here's the real reason why this is happening, and went pretty deep. You got a better sense for where I was coming from. So we're both learning from the sharing.
So
it was very hard for me to, it's very hard for me to share this right now. With thousands of people, I'm sharing a pretty personal wounds that I don't share with my brother.
Yeah.
But it's helpful. Like getting it out and talking about it is just super helpful. That's why therapy does help for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And to be able to share things with you and have them be accepted.
Yeah.
And you've done that from the beginning. You have accepted what I've told you. In most cases, you've been like, I love you, tell me more. And you haven't punished me for being vulnerable. I had been punished for being vulnerable in my marriage, and my words would be twisted and my intent would be completely discounted.
Yeah.
And that is unhealthy, and you will not make a relationship work if that happens all the time.
No.
You might work, quote, but it will be unhappy and miserable and mediocre at best. And so when you can actually share the things we're talking about. So anyone listening, including the gentleman who sent his email, should probably consider just sharing it, seeing what happens.
And it sounds like that's what they're doing.
It does sound like that's what they're doing. From the email, we'll hopefully be able to go into this more when he responds, but anyone listening to this that's really struggling to make a connection in their marriage, lifestyle or not, to be able to just say what's on your mind in a non-threatening way, in a self-aware way, in a non-blaming way. This is how I feel, and this is where I think it comes from, without defending yourself. Defensiveness is just the kryptonite to a relationship, because mm-hmm. you're having to defend your position. And we've done it in this podcast.
We have.
We have to defend ourselves, and we have to make sure that the impression we leave is the right impression, and it's just not healthy. And so my goal always with you will be say what's on my mind and just let the chips fall. Be kind about it. Be empathetic about it.
Mm-hmm.
This is how I feel. You trust and love and know me. You know where I'm coming from, which you've demonstrated from the beginning. You understand my intent.
I do.
That's so important to me.
Yeah.
Because I did not have that in my marriage.
Yeah.
My intent was just like, you must be doing this because of that. No, I'm just telling you what it is. And that's just, it's just a balm for the soul that I have someone I can just go, here's where I'm coming from, and for you to accept that. And the same, I will do that for you, always. Because I know your intent, you're a good person. You're not out to hurt me. You're not out to be a terrible person. You're just not that person.
I love you.
Yeah, you're a loving soul, and you're going to do things from that basis of love.
Fierce protection of us.
Yes, and that's the other thing we talked about, is really protecting what we have by doing all these things, because it really is protective. It's like a coat of armor to say, I'm going to do the uncomfortable things, which is the theme of lifestyle, right? Do the uncomfortable things.
Then process.
And then process it and talk about it. Get it out there.
What does it bring up?
Okay, so this thing brought up my jealousy. Okay, let's talk about it. Why do you think that is? It's hard to see you fuck this guy. whatever the jealous thing is. Or you had interest in this woman and she's single and she could take you away from you. That was a very intimate moment you shared.
Yeah.
You know I'm not going anywhere with that woman.
I know, of course.
But it's the fear you had and you shared. I'm like, what is it about the single woman? Why is she any different than any other woman at these parties?
Yeah.
And you're like, because she's single and she could poach you. I'm like, she's not going to poach me. I'm like, okay. But you sharing that gives me a lot of understanding of...
Because I think you're the most lovable person on the planet. So this is my perspective. It's so funny because you think you're not lovable. I know you know you're lovable. But we're talking about like inner child, like going, yeah. No, you're not. Even though you as an adult, Aiden, know you are. Like, but your inner child, like, no, I'm not lovable. I'm like, and to me, I'm like, Aiden is the most lovable person on the planet. Every single woman is trying to take him from me. And I need to carry a knife wherever I go. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
And you're delusional and you're biased.
No, I just, it's a right. So it's hard for me to get into, but that's what I did last night, was like really get into, okay, what if I really did feel like that? What if I was really in your shoes and that's really how I felt? And it was really, it was super helpful.
Mm-hmm. So how can we cap this one? This is pretty deep stuff.
Yeah, very. I just, you guys, I think that there's a trend going around on social right now. It's we listen and we don't judge. But I think there's something to that. And I've seen a bunch of couples do it where they say hard things to each other. They'll sit side by side so they're not looking at each other while they do it. And they'll take turns and one will go like, I heard the baby crying last night, but I pretend that I didn't, so you would get the baby instead of me. And then the next one she would go, knew it was dinner time, but I didn't feel like making dinner, so I hid in the bathroom. Or so be random shit like that. And so, but it was so good. And it's these little things, sharing the hard things along the way, especially if you are doing it in a maintenance fashion. So you're doing it along the way. It's not big blow ups, it's small things that you're sharing with each other as they happen. And it builds trust. Because, gosh, they must trust me if they're telling me this hard thing. And they must feel safe with me because they're telling me this hard mm-hmm. thing and they're trusting
that I won't.
It really does. Yeah. And it becomes a virtuous cycle.
And like when you were safe to be upset with me last night. Like, oh, we don't get upset very often with each other.
No.
We just usually talk through things. And you were safe to do it. And you even told me right after. You're like, I can do that with you, which you could never do before.
No.
And that makes me feel good, even though it doesn't necessarily feel good.
I know.
It makes me know that you trust that I'm going to react in a way that's good for us.
Yeah.
I'm not going to scream back at you and run out and get violent or avoid you and drive around the neighborhood for 5 hours. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
I'm going to sit here. I'm going to work with you. I'm going to talk with you and figure out how we get to the end. It's not easy. Of course, I want to just, this is the way it should be. I want to blaze through it because it's not comfortable.
I know.
But I'm still going to do that. And you're going to do that with me. You're always going to be curious about it. Maybe we'll be defensive in the beginning, but then we'll come around to being able to go, okay, here's what's happening. And that's just golden.
Stay in it with each other if you can. And I know there are situations out there. And if you're in one of those that's not safe, get help. Sometimes those just aren't fixable. And number one, keep safe. But if you've got a really good base, friendship and respect.
You care about each other.
Yeah. If you can just keep saying the hard things, listen, and we don't judge, and back and forth, and give each other grace, I think you'll find that you'll reap a lot of rewards. I feel like we have.
Yeah, we have.
I love you lots.
I love you. We hope that means something to you guys, resonates.
Yeah.
Please feel free to email us. We love getting the ones that we've had.
Yeah.
We've been able to, I think, address some of the things we've gotten in the emails. And so if you have a story or something you want to share that maybe we can talk about in a podcast, or just write us directly and tell us, hey, don't share any of this, but this is what I've been through and just want someone to write to. We're here for you.
Yeah.
So just do that, and hopefully we'll hear from you and see you on the next one. We'll make the next one a sexy story because it'll be counterbalanced.
Yeah, it probably will.
Maybe we'll have some. I don't know.
I know. We'll have our party. And
our party coming up, which is going to be dope.
It should be interesting with all the new people.
Yeah, I think this is going to be our most epic party.
I think it
because of the people coming.
Oh,
because of
yeah.
Just the setup that we're doing. So it's going to be interesting. So we'll let you guys know. We'll probably do another podcast between because we can't stop doing this.
No, we can't stop. There'll be something.
All right, guys. Thank all you so right. much. Leave us a review if you can. Send us an email. All and right. We'll see you soon.
Bye.